everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And as always, we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown. So come. Yes, video stores still exist. I can assure you of that. And also, you're probably wondering, wait, we, but it's just you talking. I can assure you, listeners, that the fantastic Miss Frida has a pillow in her bed that she is laying her head on while watching the Admiral record. And the Honorable Tesla is also on a giant oogie boogie squishmallow pillow looking right at me while we talk about Batman Begins with the illustrious Butt Maestro. How's it going, buddy?
The Admiral didn't have to twist my arm very hard to watch this movie. But before we get into it, hi everyone, welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the movies we love. And you heard the Admiral, we're doing the first of the Nolan Batman trilogy. If you stick around, you might hear us give some hot takes about this movie and its series and how it relates to other Batman movies. Stick around for that. We're going to make our way through this. Just right off the bat, I love this movie. Again, you didn't have to twist my arm very hard to watch this because I've watched this on many a school trip and study marathon night and like this is more or less a comfort movie for me.
So I have a question for you about Maestro.
What you got,
sir? Are we in the minority that we like this movie? Because I know a lot of other people love...
Okay. I don't think so.
Because I know a lot of people love The Dark Knight. And look, don't get me wrong. The Dark Knight's amazing. I just like this movie better. I like this movie better mainly because it's a prequel that we didn't know we needed.
It's a prequel that it does hit the usual Bruce Wayne origin story beats. It hits a few of those in a slightly different way, gives a little more detail in ways that you don't necessarily see in comics or haven't seen in other Batman movies. Not only is Christian Bale's take on Batman when he's all suited up pretty terrifying and ferocious, but his Bruce Wayne is pretty solid.
His Bruce Wayne is probably on par with, I would say, Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne. Like, very spot on.
He does the dual role of fighting for justice in his own weird way, while also putting up the facade of being a dumb billionaire.
Yeah. And on that note, with the dual personalities, do you want to talk about the music done by James Newton Howard?
I'd love to.
And
Hans Zimmer, two of my absolute favorite 20th and 21st century modern film score composers. And I'm so happy they worked together for this. And you're absolutely right. The two of them basically did the dual personality effect, where one of them composed the Batman themes, the other composed all the Bruce Wayne and his friends themes. And I'm going to leave it up to you, listeners, to listen to the soundtrack. And it's not very hard who did what. Zimmer and James Newton Howard have very uniquely different composing styles that meld very, very well. Of course, you know James Newton Howard's music from, or at least I know it most primarily from, Atlantis, The Lost Empire, and Treasure Planet. So if you want to know what I'm talking about with his very emotional themes, go there. But both of these are S-tier modern composers, and any chance for them to work solo or together on any project is insane. And they really built an incredible foundation for atmosphere in this movie and all the different moods that this movie takes, whether it's in the beginning when Bruce is kind of discovering himself and getting into League of Shadows, or later on where we're kind of in the Gotham underbelly and the Narrows discovering all their criminal underworld stuff, or later when the League of Shadows comes back. It's all, you have these different timbres, different textures, different tones that all work really well. And I'd be lying if I said that this wasn't one of the soundtracks that I go back to every so often just to get hype.
Correct. Of course, this movie is directed by Christopher Nolan. I still think The Prestige is better. Yeah, I'm one of those people that love The Prestige. So he actually, as the Baumeister specified, he got Hans Zimmer to come in, and he also asked Zimmer if he could invite Newton Howard, to be like, hey, there's two different personalities. I really would like them to work together. So Zimmer composes the action sequences, and Howard focuses on the dramatic scenes. That's how they broke it up.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
And you can really hear the difference in tone and timbre, but it also could have easily been composed by one composer. Like, what I'm saying is their teamwork is flawless.
Yeah.
To the point that you wouldn't know it was two different composers until you looked it up.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to ask, do you know what opera they were...
Faust. They were watching Faust.
Oh, really? You know? Let me double check to make sure. Would you?
I'm 99.9% sure it's Faust. I've never looked it up, but I know the music. I'm 99% sure it's Faust.
It's Mephistophele by
Mephistopheles.
Yep, B-O-I-T. That's the person's name. I don't know how to specify. I don't know how to. But it's about bats. It's about, the journey.
Yeah.
Of it's fitting that Nolan picked that opera for that.
That is kind of one of the little details that gets changed around depending on who is making the different Batman origin story flashbacks, and having that be the specific opera that they were in, and having it be partly because Bruce was getting scared of the bats and wanted to leave. Really adds a layer of complexity and emotional depth to the trauma, because it's really hard for him not to think that it's his fault. Now, another defining aspect of Batman origin stories is who he talks to and the kind of conversations he has right after his parents' tragic death. And in this, fortunately, he has a lot of very healthy voices telling him a lot of very healthy things. Both Jim Gordon and Alfred, played brilliantly by Gary Oldman, one of my favorite Jim Gordons, maybe not number one, but one of, and Michael Caine, again, one of my favorite Alfreds. They're both incredible, and you can tell these are the father figures that really stepped in to help Bruce out after his parents got killed.
I enjoyed that they showed Gordon before he became a commissioner as a lieutenant.
Agreed.
I like the growth.
Agreed. This isn't just Batman beginning. This is a lot of other incidental characters in the Batman universe beginning their careers.
Correct. It drew inspiration from year one. It drew inspiration from, I think, a few other sources. Now here on Cinema Gems, we're not like be all Batman fans. My personal favorite Batman story is A Long Halloween. But Meister, do you have a favorite Batman comic?
That is a great one. Killing Joke.
That's another good one. That is a great one.
Killing Joke or Death in the Family.
That's another good one, too. So we're not the end-all.
Also a big fan of Court of Owls. I feel like I have read and experienced maybe just a little more Batman stuff than your average person, but... On Cinema Gems, we are fortunate enough to have had several incredible guests that are more knowledgeable in areas, in very specific areas, than we are. I would wager a guess that Dr. Amon Kringle knows a whole lot more about different interpretations of Batman than we do.
Oh, probably. I mean, he also probably knows more Marvel as well than we do. He's more a comic-based persona than we are. We're more.
But I was practically raised on the Tim Kaine Batman the Animated Series with Kevin Conroy as the voice of Batman.
R.I.P. Kevin Conroy.
100%. What a legend.
I 100% agree with you that Dr. Amon Kringle is a far superior answer for Batman Begins. So, I mean, for Batman comics. So if you see Dr. Amon Kringle and you know him personally, ask him what his favorite comic books of Batman is. There you go. That's for you, Dr. Amon Kringle. I know you're listening. But look, so We've discussed beforehand that we're probably not going to go over bit by bit. We're going to really talk about our favorite scenes in the movie because...
Right. We're going to assume that you've seen this movie. It's 20 years old now.
Yeah. Yep. I really like when Ra's al Ghul... not Ra's al Ghul. I'm sorry. Qui-Gon Jinn trains Batman on the ice lake.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul. Ducard.
Which, by the way, so that I think it was a day after they filmed that scene... The lake completely melted after they did that scene, like the next day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
very glad it didn't start melting when they were on it. That would have been awful.
Yes, it would have. And also, apparently, there was no second unit on this movie. Christopher Nolan decided to do everything. He oversaw every shot of this movie. Personally,
that tracks for Chris Nolan and anything you know about him. He's very much a control freak, I say in the most loving way. Very, very much meticulous artiste when it comes to framing shots and telling story through the movie.
Not in a toxic way, though.
As far as we know.
Correct. But yeah, it was a 129-day shoot, and he focused on all that. And then what is the other? Oh, and then when they were filming in Chicago with the Tumblr, a person, quote unquote, accidentally ran into the Tumblr. And his reasoning was he thought it was a spaceship from outer space, so he panicked and crashed into it.
You know what? Not entirely unreasonable. I mean, if you're seeing that thing in real life for the first time before this movie ever comes out, you would be alarmed, to say the least. Some of my favorite aspects of this movie are really just kind of seeing the seedy underbelly of Gotham. And especially when Bruce, on the day of Joe Chill's trial, goes down to see Falcone. And Falcone is like, kid, get out of here. Like, you are so out of your depth. You have no idea how deep our influence goes here. You are so screwed, kid. Like, no. And having Rachel Dawes tell him, like, no, revenge is not the same as justice, dude.
I did like how he when he got out of that scene, he went and he threw like his wallet away and everything else, and he gives the money to the gentleman with the coat. And I like how the guy's like, "What's that for? Your coat? Okay. Oh no, I'll take that coat."
And then, like, a half hour later.
Yeah.
Nice coat.
And he's like, oh! And also, we have Baby Joffrey.
I did see Baby Joffrey. That was adorable.
Little Baby Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Absolutely freaking cute.
This movie is... I you know what? I was going to break the movie up and watch it in parts, but I just sat down and watched this movie in one show. Like, in one sitting.
Yeah.
I actually texted about my show yesterday. I forgot how good this movie was.
And I think I responded with, I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I love the flow of this movie. I love everything it does. It is a perfect chapter one to this trilogy that, in my opinion, is nothing but at least A movies. Like, if you had me rank them, I would put Dark Knight, A+, this A, and Dark Knight Rises A-.
See?
But just like the Toy Story movies, that can fluctuate on a day. The point is they're all great movies. They're all very good representations of Batman and the Batman mythology without getting too otherworldly, too goofy. Like, you could tell they set out to do this so it would be just a Batman and Gotham series, and they wouldn't be dependent on the rest of the Justice League, because let's be honest, Batman doesn't depend on the rest of the Justice League. The rest of the Justice League depends on Batman.
Correct. So you said that you would rank it, this one A, Dark Knight A+, Dark Knight Rises A-. So for me, the first two are flip-flop. Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. That's just I'm sorry. I know we're probably going to get a lot of hot emails.
That's okay.
And you can email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com and let me know how I'm wrong. But hey, guys, it's my opinion, and I can have that availability if I want to. And that I just personally like this one better. It's, to me, it's more grounded story. It literally, you can see someone becoming Batman if they have disposable income because it actually makes it realistic.
And more than most Batman origin story movies, you can really see the why. You can see all of the individual factors that kind of push him to do this. I'm also just a huge sucker for any tech demonstration scenes. So having Lucius Fox, the head of R&D at Wayne Tech, be like, all right, here's all these toys. I'm not going to ask what they're for because the less I know, the better.
The less I have to lie. I just see this is all your stuff. You could just do whatever you want with it.
I'm again, just a huge sucker for any tech demo scenes. So seeing how the Batman armor gets put together from pieces of big air quotes, real life, you know, prototype things is really fun to me.
Do you want to talk about...
It's not like Bruce Wayne suddenly became an expert in how to use a sewing machine overnight.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about...
Oh, Ken Watanabe.
I'm sorry, Ken Watanabe.
The... Ken Watanabe, our fake-out Ra's al Ghul.
So, I have a theory that he was Ra's al Ghul, and then when he died, the torch was passed on to Liam Neeson. Because it says...
I think that's very likely, because the way Liam Neeson, the way Descartes kind of acts the whole time Bruce is there, he's very much like, I'm the head honcho, except there is one dude over me who I respect and everyone respects. But I'm basically his second in command and working my way up to take his place when he dies.
Yeah, because they said they had the fall of Rome. They sacked all these other things. So I feel like it's kind of like how people want the Freemasons to be a thing. I feel like it's kind of like the League of Shadows in this movie is similar to that. We're not saying that the League of Shadows is like that in the comic books, people. We're saying that in this particular movie, we feel that's how the League of Shadows works.
It also kind of gave similar vibes as, if I say, the Knights Templar as portrayed in the Assassin's Creed video game series. Kind of similar vibes.
Correct.
Where, like, they have been behind the most influential, sometimes for better, sometimes most of the time for worse, figures and events in human history.
Oh, so, you know, Wayne Manor, right?
Yes.
So that's...
What other movies has that house been used for?
Yes. You want to mention them?
Oh, no, I'm asking you because I don't have the list.
Oh, yeah, no, I do. Known as Mentor Towers, also a former Rothschild's estate in Buckinghamshire, England. You know, so that was from the O'Connell's house in The Mummy Returns.
Cool.
That was also in a movie, Brazil, one of my favorite movies. Also, Slipstream from '89, Eyes Wide Shut from '99, Quills from 2000, and Johnny English from 2003.
LOL.
And Liam Neeson.
I mean, I'm a fan of any Rowan Atkinson movie, so I'm not complaining.
And Liam Neeson is a little taller than Christian Bale, so in their final fight, he had to hunch over. Liam Neeson had to hunch while they were fighting, so he didn't look taller than Batman.
I mean, I think, A, he should have definitely been taller than Batman. I think, look, when you get Liam Neeson, who started his career as... essentially a professional fencer, like he several of his early career roles he got because he already had fight training. He was excellent as Qui-Gon because he already had legitimate, like, historical fencing training. And so my only complaint of this movie is I wish we would have gotten to see Liam Neeson duel more with a blade.
I enjoyed the dueling. I really liked everything about it. Do you think he used that from Phantom Menace?
Very likely.
Also...
Very likely. In fact, you can probably pinpoint a handful of sword moves that go parallel between the two.
Also, Liam Neeson was hesitant for this movie because, as a Superman fan, he found Batman, quote-unquote, scary.
Yeah, and lo and behold, he gets the opportunity to play the one person that scares Batman.
Exactly.
Ra's, a.k.a. Ra's al Ghul, depending on the iteration you're watching.
So the other thing we have to talk about is a lot of people say Batman doesn't kill, Batman doesn't do this. Look, Batman doesn't kill to a certain point. I think at a certain point in his career, Batman's like, okay, cool, I'm not going to kill anymore. Batman was obviously trying to kill Joe Chill at his trial, which, by the way, I don't know about you, but my sure that, but that really gave me like Lee Harvey Oswald vibes from
very much so
the JFK assassination.
Very much so.
But technically, he did kill Ra's al Ghul, even though he didn't save him. Technically, it was his rockets that destroyed the train bridge and made the train go down. So technically, Batman killed him.
That train would not have been in motion without a magic water evaporator on it, without Ra's al Ghul's, without Liam Neeson's direct influence. All Batman was doing was stopping the train, of catastrophic events that the League of Shadows were trying to carry out. Which, my other very small complaint about this movie is, every time I think about it, the whole instant water evaporator thing, and having the big disaster of the movie be that the League of Shadows put this major hallucinogen, this fear toxin, which, by the way, is Scarecrow's thing.
Oh yeah, Scarecrow's in this, by the way.
Scarecrow's in this, and his fear toxin is literally the blue flower red thorns that Bruce picks up at the beginning of the movie.
I'm so sorry. I laughed so hard because of Shrek.
I got you with that.
I'm so sorry.
I was hoping I would.
Go ahead.
But no, it's the same blue flower red thorns. And so, I don't know. I really like the kind of synergy of Scarecrow isn't just a psychopharmacologist, but he is literally enabled by and a low-ranking pawn in this League of Shadows. And he is one of many, many people who work with the League of Shadows while also having no idea just how lethal they are and how disposable you are.
Which, by the way, Cillian Murphy does a phenomenal job as Scarecrow.
He's awesome. Like, he's hands down my favorite live action Scarecrow.
He is one of those where it's just like, wow, you didn't have to do that much acting, did you? Like,
yeah.
By the way, did you know that I think it was David S. Goyer had to convince Sir Christopher Nolan to have Scarecrow wear a mask, because Christopher Nolan didn't want that to happen?
And I think it only a mask for him only makes sense as, and one of the first thing we see when he puts on the mask is that it has a respirator inside of it. So it is actively protecting him from the hallucinogen that he's spraying everywhere. So giving these kind of fantastical weird elements, like a psychopharmacologist putting a scarecrow mask on, giving that a legitimate tangible reason of, no, he uses this fear gas and he needs a way to not breathe it in.
Yeah.
While also scaring the crap out of his patients.
Yeah. This Buttmeister would get this. Buttmeister would understand. Hans Zimmer named his tracks of soundtracks after the types of bats for the first letters of tracks between 4 and 9 in the soundtrack to spell Batman. So.
Cool.
I'm going to butcher these bat names. So I do. I'm very sorry. But Barstella, Abatreus, it literally spells out Batman. Like,
cute.
Yeah.
I never picked that up before, but that's a really fun detail. As a very, very fun detail.
As a music nerd, I thought you would find that funny.
That's pretty cool. But look, this is the first in the what I'm going to call the iconic Nolan Batman trilogy. Because ever since he did it, several other directors and Batmen have done their best to mixed degrees. I personally think the Rob Pat Batman is one of the best ones we've got in years, even though it kind of covers a lot of similar territory to this movie, just in a slightly different way. I think this movie was incredible for what it was at the time.
Correct. And also, I have two other points to not argue, but say. I really like Christian Bale's Batman voice in this movie, mainly because he's not parodying himself, which he does in the later movie.
Exactly. And there is a bit of a noticeable difference there.
And I know this is also another hot take, But I like Katie Holmes as Rachel. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I really like her as Rachel. Like, she's more... She's more heartwarming, more warm, more like, Bruce, I like you kind of thing. And I understand why she didn't come back, because of her current husband at the time and everything, but that's fine for the second one. But I personally like Katie Holmes, Rachel, better. I know that I am in the minority for that one. I 100% know that.
I like them both for different reasons. I agree with you that I think Katie Holmes really brings the warmth and compassion that a early years Bruce really needs.
Correct.
She absolutely brings that kind of warmth, that friendly support, that someone who has a lot of grief and a lot of unprocessed guilt really needs to hear. That being said, I also think Maggie Gyllenhaal does a phenomenal job in the second and third movies. I think she's great. Or is she just in the second one?
She's just in the second one.
You're right, because she's basically replaced by Talia al Ghul in the third one.
Correct. And also, Rutger Hauer's in this. Did we forget?
Yeah, I don't know how we forgot to mention, but Rutger Hauer plays the current CEO of Wayne Enterprises.
Yep.
And the whole "did you get the memo" thing is, mwah, chef's kiss. Beautiful.
Rutger Hauer is amazing, and I love that he has a few lines, as you said, but he delivers them with such menace that you're just like, wow. Of course, Morgan Freeman is amazing. Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne, played by Linus Roach and Sarah Stewart, respectively, they do a phenomenal job, even though they're only in two scenes. And I don't even think Sarah Stewart has any lines.
I wish we would have gotten a little more of them.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you.
Maybe not a lot more, but one additional scene of them being parents to Bruce. Or, you know, trying.
Because one of my favorite lines from this movie is, "Why do we fall, Bruce? So we can pick ourselves up.
So we can learn to get back up."
And it's just like, wow. It's so nice to have a loving father figure that's actually non-toxic, which he does have later in life with Alfred. And I love when he comes back and Alfred's like, "You can take the Lamborghini for a spin. Just make sure you fill up the tank."
The Rolls.
Oh, sorry. The Rolls. I do apologize. But no, I personally like that. Are we good? Are we done?
I ready? Think so. Here on Cinema Gems, we have a pretty simple rating system. Whole gem, it's amazing. Half gem, it's just all right. No gem, don't bother. Where does this fall for you, Admiral?
The Admiral gives this a whole gem.
Yeah, big same. Big bat signal shaped whole gem. I love this movie. Like I said at the top, it's one of my comfort movies. And the whole trilogy is, I love Christopher Nolan's whole imprint on this series. Have there been better and different depictions of Bruce Wayne? Sure. And to that, all I can say is we're spoiled for choice. We as nerds are really spoiled for choice with having multiple different interpretations of the same character.
And I also like Michael Caine's Alfred as well. I don't know if I would say it's my favorite. Like the original Celestial Toymaker from
yes,
Batman.
From the Schumacher films.
Like 89 Batman.
Yeah.
But Alfred brings a kind of... Michael Caine brings a kind of like gravitas to the role when he says, and this is true, when I called the butt maestro when he picked up the phone. Yes. "What's the point of doing all those push-ups, Mr. Wayne?
You can't lift a bloody log." No, Michael Caine's signature sass is all over this role, and I love it. To the point that I think it's very likely that other actors who picked up this role later on, including but not limited to Jeremy Irons and Andy Serkis, both incorporated a little bit of that British sass.
Yep, and also... one other thing, the sequence where Bruce Wayne is asleep by getting drugged with the toxin, the fear poison, he was actually asleep in that scene, and he woke up to Michael Caine poking him in the ribs. Look at that. He's bloody fallen asleep.
So yeah, Christian Bale woke up to Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine like staring at him when he was actually asleep in that scene. So yeah. So guys, look, we are the podcast that you want to listen to. But if this podcast is not for you, that is perfectly fine.
Let me tweak the Admiral's wording on that a little bit. We really want to be the podcast that you want to listen to. And if there's anything we can cover that we're not already covering to make us the show that you want to listen to, please let us know at cinemagems15@gmail.com.
So the Bud Maestro did say that, but I was also specifying that if this show is not for you, find a friend that you know loves movies, because we all have that one friend. We all have that one friend that is obsessed and loves movies. And if you don't know which friend that is, it's you. Let's be honest. It's you. Guys, also, thank you to Marty and the Eric Zerber for allowing us to be on your website, lowrainpictures.com. Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. But Maestro, do you have anything else to say before we head on out of here?
You know I do. Thank you, as always, to all of our Swapper Jacks friends and family members and our amazing Cinemaniacs. Once again, you can email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com with all of your movie recommendations. Of course, again, you can go down lowbrainpictures.com through the whole catalog of movies that we've already reviewed and tell us where we went wrong. And of course, let us know what we're missing out on. We both appreciate all of y'all for listening. Thank y'all for listening this far and sticking with the whole thing. Whatever role we play in your daily life, we're grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, if you have us on in the background, good night, Dead Tom.
Good night, Dead Tom.
You know, do chores or go walk the dogs or sit out in the sun and relax or do whatever you feel comfortable. We, like the Buttmeister said, we are glad to be in your life, even though we don't know about it. We're glad to bring you...
We don't need to know what aspect of your life we are. We're just glad to be on in the background.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening this far. We love y'all.
The Honorable Tesla and the Fantastic Frieda are telling me to get in the Tumblr, so I think I gotta go, guys. So, guys, all we gotta say is wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black Lives always matter, guys.
Always. And, Admiral, why do we fall?
So we can pick ourselves up.
Yes, sir.
Where are the drugs?
Love y'all.
Where are they?
Bye, y'all.
Bye.